JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, happy Easter, Mike.
What did you make of yesterday and its vagueness?
It was probably, as expected. I didn't actually think we were going to get a heck of a lot of detail. It probably erred on the side of less detail than I had expected. Yesterday felt to me like, after 100 days of sort of undoing stuff, yesterday felt to me like one of the first or key opportunities to look forward in a constructive sense. I suppose the reality, Mike, is that you're dealing with an economy that moves in cycles which don't necessarily neatly fit into the electoral cycle, do it? So you've got to deal with what you have in front of you. The policy statement was mostly as expected. There was those five key priorities were identified, so meaningful tax reductions to provide cost of living relief, enduring savings, the key thing, enduring savings across government departments, shifting government spending to higher value areas, tight control of government spending, and developing a long-term sustainable pipeline of infrastructure investments. Again, sort of quite big picture, not a lot of detail there. The challenge was noted, a couple of key comments that I thought were really interesting, Mike. The challenge was noted dealing with funding announced in previous budgets that was time limited. In other words, the initiative or the use of the money was detailed in the previous budgets, but the funding wasn't projected forward. It was limited to a certain time. So you're essentially kicking the can down the road in terms of how you're going to pay for it. So that what that did, Mike, is that flatters the forward projections of government financial position, because you've said, we're going to spend the money on this, but we actually were only going to fund it up to this point. They've reviewed or changed the calculation of debt to GDP. This was a particular issue for me because the debt to GDP calculation was modified to include assets in the government super fund. There were reasons behind this, but my contention always was the New Zealand super fund assets don't help you pay for the debt right now. You can't use that money to pay for the debt. So what it did, Mike, is it obfuscated your interest obligations. There's a step change in debt to GDP. You've noted the very large range there now, 20 to 40%. Previous target was 50. They said they want to get it on a downward trajectory and stay under 40%. Not a lot of detail around the operating allowance. We will have to wait for the budget proper. It will be less than the announced $3.5 billion. Now, at the same time, Mike, yesterday Treasury released economic and tax outlook alongside that. So just a couple of points there. Short-term lower GDP forecast for the June year. It's now at 0.1%, which is as good as flat, no growth. But June 25, they revised that up, so optimism abounds there. Lower peak in unemployment, lower inflation outlook, a cumulative reduction in the core Crown tax revenue of $13.9 billion out to 2028. So you've got quite a lot less money to deal with. They think there'll be declines in real consumption spending in the second half of 24. Overall, Mike, the budget's going to be challenging. The economic landscape is weaker. And on a reasonably technical note, they're going to have to issue more bonds.
Yes.
And the government, I think at the moment the market will accept that, will have to issue. Yep, the demand is there. Yep.
Now, our old friend Donald, how about Truth Social, eh?
Yeah, well, you mentioned this yesterday and it sort of piqued my interest. And I thought, because there's a very interesting side story here. So you gave some details, didn't you, on Trump Media and Technology Corp, which run Truth Social, the alternative social media platform. It's now worth mega billions of dollars. It's gone up overnight as well. It's gone up even more. So his stake in this is worth billions and billions of dollars. What's fascinating, though, Mike, is he needs money right now. He needs money now. And his stake is worth a heck of a lot of money, but he can't get it in normal circumstances. A major shareholder in these circumstances can't sell for 6 months because there's a lockup period when a company is launched on an exchange. But so how, whether or not this is just too tempting for him, I think becomes a really fascinating story. He could seek a waiver from his board. The board conveniently includes Donald Trump Jr. and three key members of his old administration. But you run a real risk here of, this stock is worth way more than it's supposed to be, than it should be worth at the moment. You run the risk of tanking the share price or alternatively launching an enormous number of lawsuits. Now, he's quite familiar with lawsuits, but the company valuation is nuts. But I think the story of whether or not it's too tempting for him will be fascinating. We will watch it. He's just a story magnet, this guy,
isn't he? It's a fascinating time in which to be an observer. What are the numbers?
Everything's up at the US at the moment. The Dow Jones up 278 points, roughly 0.75%, 39,560. The S&P 500 up 0.3%, 5,221. And the NASDAQ about 17 points in the green, 16,332. FTSE overnight flat, 7,931. The Nikkei 40,762, up about 1%. Shanghai Composite fell though, 1.25%, 2993. The ASX 200 up 0.5%, 7819. And the NZX 50 still above 12,000, 12,010. Kiwi dollar, 0.5999, so just under 60 cents. 0.9191 against the Aussie, 0.5542 euro, 0.4749 pounds, 90.71 Japanese yen. Gold gone up again, $2,192. Brent crude, $85.81. Mike, stock up on the dark chocolate. That's the good stuff for the weekend.
Well, the cocoa over $10,000 a ton. You have a lovely Easter, mate. We'll catch up next week. Andrew Callaghan, jmiwealth.co.nz.